Well, this morning, we're going to go back into our teaching again, which I titled Devils, Demons, and Evil Spirits. We could name a number of different things that evil spirits and devils are called, and what Satan himself and they're called. But these are what we're dealing with in the earth, and we need to know and understand we're dealing with. These are spiritual beings. These are not physical beings. We may see manifestations of them through people. We'll see that. You'll see manifestations. That's where they mostly manifest through. Understand this, because we're looking into this thing. We're looking at this subject. We're going to talk about this. You know, the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Amen. Is the motives and the things behind them. We find when the millennial reign of Christ comes and Satan is bound for 1,000 years, we don't have all this trouble with all this stuff in the earth. In fact, we don't have trouble with death. Men live; you're going to live to be over 1,000 years old. And so we need to understand this. In our earth today, you need to understand the problems and things people are coming through is because of the demonic powers that operate in the earth. And these are the things that we're here resisting. You know, when the devil leaves, I mean, the trouble leaves. And people don't get that. This is the idea, one of the falsehoods, and I've watched this over the years, and I've listened to different ministers preach. There's ministers that preach, we don't have to deal with the devil. You know, Jesus dealt with him, so we don't anymore. And I thought, my God, he's got you. And you don't think you have to deal with him? He owns you now. He'll be in there. You'll deal with everybody deals with him. We're in the earth. But we want to talk about it. Here's one of the things, though, that I said in the beginning when I started. We don't want to get over in fear about the devil and dealing with the devil.
That's right.
What he does. He's in the earth. Jesus said the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he comes for. So those things are happening in the earth. Sin has played its part in the earth, and over time it shortens men's lives. I mean, if we take today, sickness and disease is rampant in the earth, and it's because of satanic powers. It's because we're trying to meet everything by just turning around and we're trying to deal with everything from the natural. We're trying to deal with all sickness and disease by doctors. You know, thank God for what they can do. But I'm going to tell you what. It's going to be a losing battle if you're going to go this way, because it ain't going to work. The more that happens, goes on. I mean, my God, how many new diseases do we get a year? You know, I mean, we're getting all this stuff. You know what? They get uglier. They don't get better. They get uglier stuff. Well, you're dealing with the devil. And this is why you must stay on top of it with your faith-wise and understand what you're dealing with. You know, sickness and disease, we deal with it. Well, it's just a thing you have here on the earth. Yeah, it's because the devil's here. And so he's always going to try to bring things on you. He's always going to try to harm. He's going to try to hurt. He's never good, you know. And so he comes along, and we have people today who stand in pulpits who are the devil's ministers. The Bible said we would. See, I believe the Bible is true. But they come along and they don't realize, you know, the opposition and the things that you're dealing with in the earth. And they come along and they say all nice and wonderful things. But I'm going to tell you, while the devil runs over people's lives, it just runs over them and runs over them, you know. I don't want sympathy, I want help. People want somebody to be sympathetic with them. I don't need sympathy, I need help. And so that's what God gives. Help. God gave you the Holy Spirit. He's called a helper. That's what he is. Glory to God. Because why? He knew he was going to need help. He knew that. Glory to God. So we want to walk in the light of that. Now we're going to look today. We are in a spiritual battle. We need to be careful, because we can make spiritual battles into physical battles and defeat ourselves. We need to know who and what we're dealing with. In this earth, you're going to have to deal with people. There's people yielded to stuff. We're going to have to deal with them. As we get on this teaching, we'll talk about certain things in those areas specifically. But I want you to get the fact of this, is the core of what we're dealing with the trouble and the problems in this earth, are demonic. Demons are influencing people, and people don't know it. Our educational systems don't have God in it. You know, you have to leave the regular institutions and go to private things if you want to find out about God. I mean, it's very oppressive, even to Christian teachers in public schools. When our kids first started public school, Christian teachers could do a lot of things, which today they're not allowed to. They could back then. You know, I mean, we had like our daughters went to school, and even like the Cedar Crest school system and that stuff. They're one of the major science teachers and that stuff. Our kids were never taught evolution in school. They weren't taught that because the teacher wouldn't teach it. So they didn't say nothing about it. They just taught. So they didn't teach those stuff. Now today, you know, they'd fire a teacher did that. You know, no, you got to teach as much junk as you can. You know, make man supreme. Make man rule. And hallelujah. Well, man's been ruling, and hasn't he done a wonderful job? But so they, you know, have a lot of problems. And see, one of the things, when you removed Christianity from school, you removed organization, you moved any kind of thing out that removed evil. Now there's not any bad, you know, they just have problems. You just got a problem. No, you got a devil.
That's right.
You need to deal with it. And you need to let the devil rule and reign. And, you know, we remove discipline from the school. When I was in school as a kid, they'd whoop you. And you know what? We didn't do near the stuff they did today. Because you know the whoopings got worse as you went on. They had paddles.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? It was daily in use.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? You didn't have all the problems and stuff you have today. And you know what? That was biblical.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
As today, psychology has come in and the devil rules and reigns. The people who are evil get all the attention and all the stuff and all you poor thing. You know, somebody treated you bad when you were little. You keep acting bad and you're going to get treated bad as you get older.
That's right.
And God's going to let you end up in hell. God don't play these games. He's not on man's thing. And see, we need to understand this. There is a devil and he's bad and he's up to no good. You need to understand him and know his tactics.
Yes.
And understand, we're in a battle. We are in a war. And we want to talk about, but we got to see today because you can't walk in fear of this thing. Because you will not deal with the devil being afraid.
Amen.
Fear is the opposite of faith and you won't. You can't be afraid of things. You know, the stuff that's going on. Many people are fearful of what's going on in our, you know, today in our nation and all that. Many people, well, what things going to turn out to be? I'm only interested, what am I going to turn out to be? This is what, because, you know, I ain't no good help to the nation if I ain't worth nothing.
That's right.
And see, we have people out here, we have too much this. We have expected too much to come out of our politicians to take care of stuff. Haven't you learned? They don't. Ain't you figured this thing out yet?
Right.
You know, they know how to talk. But one thing I do is I don't know how many Christians are down there because most of them don't know about the doing part. They only know about the talking part. They just talk and talk and the wind blows and the wind blows and the wind blows. But it comes down to the doing. And all of a sudden you get somebody into doing it and everybody's mad. That's how Trump gets everybody mad. He gets into the doing. They hate it. Because they have gained their power. The Republicans and the Democrats have gained their power through talk. Getting you to vote for them on their wind. I am not interested in what any man says. I'm only interested in what he does.
Amen.
Because I don't know if I see what he does, I don't know if his words are good. I don't know by the man's talk if he's any good.
Come on.
I only know about what he does.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, Jesus had a lot of good things to say, but he did a biggie for us. See, his works were wonderful. His works were glorious. And so I know his words were good. See, men today, they have a lot of talk. They talk good. Hallelujah. But doing good, that's why we could trust the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we want to look at something today because we're going to open up because of dealing with this. I want you to get this. If you're going to deal with the devil, because we could go in and talk about all what devils do. We will talk about these things. But I want you to go on. You have to have some things settled within yourself with dealing with demonic powers. You have to understand something. And we're going to deal with this fact. We are not trying to defeat Satan. You're not trying to defeat anything that's going on that he does. Why? You can't defeat him. You could, if you could defeat Satan, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. You can't defeat him. That's why Christ came. Jesus Christ came and defeated Satan for us.
Amen.
He isn't defeated. You must treat him as a defeated foe. That's where faith operates. Faith is in the land of he's defeated. He comes along and he does stuff and say, I'm sorry, he's defeated. And so we're going to look at some scriptures here because you need to get this in you, because when you deal with things and say that you don't become afraid of it, that you're not worried about this thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Keep yourself over. So I'm not trying to, people are saying, well, we're in a fight. It's called a good fight. It's only good if it's a faith fight. That's the way it's only good. It's called the good fight of faith. You know, it's interesting. People say, yeah, we fight the good fight of faith. But it says this next. Lay hold of salvation. Lay hold of eternal life. You've got to lay a hold of it. You don't lay a hold of eternal fight life, you ain't going to have no good fight. You're going to lose. See, the fight wins because you know who and what you are. If I know what I am, this is a good fight because I don't care if there's a fight going on, Ed's coming out on top. Well, we got that one good. See, I'm a winner going in. You're a winner going in if you understand this.
Hallelujah.
See, most Christians go into a fight trying to win. Well, you're already defeated. I'm not trying to win.
Amen.
I already won. All I got to do is put on the winner's belt and go in the ring.
Amen.
I don't get one when I get out of the ring if I win. I wear it in the battle. That's where you wear it, in the ring.
Amen.
You're the winner. Hallelujah. See, so we're champions. That's where we're more than conquerors. You know, it'd been nice if he said, you're conquerors. Wow, that sounds wonderful. He said, you're more than a conqueror.
Amen.
It says we always triumph in Christ Jesus. We always. See, it doesn't matter all those nice words said. You got to believe it's true. Then the dirty part comes. Act like it's true.
Come on.
Then you act like it's true. In the middle of the devil doing all his ugly, you're acting like you're a winner. You act like you're achieving. I got the answer. Hallelujah. This is mine. I got the victory.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Because I'm going to tell you, your flesh and your mind will try to say all kinds of things to you, and then you'll have the devil will echo it for you in the middle of the fight, telling you, you need to go sit down and have your trainer check you out. You look bad. You know, go sit down over in your corner. There's a towel you can throw in over there if you'd like. That's what's going on out here, folks. And those things are echoed. But you got to stand out no matter what you see in that. You got to say, no, I'm the winner. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Satan is, Bible says, is as a roaring lion. It didn't say he is. He's got a big roar. And that's what most people run from. They run from the roar. You don't run from the roar. You run to it.
Amen.
When he roars, run to him.
Amen.
Run right at him.
Amen.
You don't run away from things, you run to it. It was one thing when I was in the military, they trained us. They would run you through all these things, the training things. And they would run you through a training on ambushes. Ambush is a very deadly thing if you get caught in one. Because an ambush is set up, usually what you're walking into, there's firepower usually in front and down the sides of you, and you're walking into this thing and they open up fire. And we had videos shown of us, like, you know, that were done in combat areas and stuff, as like in Vietnam, like a company of men running into the area, and within less than 60 seconds almost everybody's dead. And usually it's because they do the wrong thing. They do the wrong thing. They try to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. You go at them. You don't run. You go at them.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best chance you have of staying alive. See, your instincts are going to, I want, fear comes and grips you. I've got to get out of here. But see, you've got to be trained and trained and trained till you don't do that. So they would turn around and train us over there. They'd set up ambushes. Now, they didn't use live ammo and try to kill us. But you set it up to where when you're walking, you're going down through a trail and all of a sudden, whoom, man, everything starts blowing up around you and all the stuff going on. Your natural instinct is, whoa, it scares you. You have to learn to not let stuff frighten you. Though you will have fears. You will have fears.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a choice of what you're going to listen to. See, as Christians do this, Satan comes along and they get a doctor's report. Fear comes and they start backing out and backing away and backing away. It's the first thing they do. Don't walk. You have this problem. Well, let's go take care of this thing. Let's go get this thing done.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
No. I got to go hide somewhere and pray and seek God and this and do all this. You should have been seeking God and know what to do when it comes. You don't wait to get into training. You know, you're a boxer. You're going to call. Don't wait for. I'm going to start training once I get in, after getting in the fight in the ring. I'm sorry, there's no training in there. It's about getting beat up.
Yep. Come on.
You got to walk toward it. So what you do is you train before the fight. I found this. That's what God was doing me in my life starting out. God took me through a lot of training, learning how to face things, learning how to deal with stuff. That's what he did. Learning how to deal with stuff, learning how to face things. Things come up, stand against them. So when the major things did happen in life, I knew how to deal with them. I knew how to stand. When I had a heart attack, I knew how to stand.
Amen.
Within an hour, I'm completely well.
Hallelujah.
See, you don't do that if you ain't been trained.
Amen.
You'll go through and spend years and years of taking medications and doing all kinds of stuff and things, trying to get yourself straightened out, trying to build. Then you'll get used to doing that, and then after a while, you won't just stay there doing that.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Get in the middle of the fight. Learn how to do that. And so we're going to look at things, but you know who you are and what you are. That you're a winner. That's what God made you. Say, well, I don't feel like a winner. What does it feel like to be a winner? I'm serious. Everybody has days you feel like a champion. You have days you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings are the biggest liar in your life.
Preach.
Your feelings have defeated you so many times.
Amen.
Have caused you problems so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Because you felt a certain way. It's ruined relationships, marriages, everything else because of people's feelings.
Come on.
Well, I just don't feel the same about that person. Well, we don't feel the same about you, but we're going to love you anyhow, you idiot. What is wrong with you? I don't care. Love ain't no feeling.
Amen.
I'm sure glad God didn't say, well, I have a good feeling, let's save him. He might have quit by the time Ed got there. This isn't about a feeling. But I'll tell you this, if you walk by faith, you can change the way you feel.
Amen.
And you can suppress certain feelings. And that's how you learn to walk by faith, that you can suppress the things. Because the devil is going, he is good at oppressing your feelings, making you feel bad.
Come on.
He's good at it. And so, he has effect in this realm. Does God have effect in this realm? Can he affect things? Well, Satan can too. See, spiritual forces can affect things here, and you need to understand. Do you know yourself? Learn to know yourself. You know, I'm not just a moody person. And I know this. If I feel sort of moody, this ain't Ed.
Amen.
Most people spend most of their life being so darn moody, they think it's normal.
Come on.
It's not normal. It's not normal. That's demonic.
Amen.
And I know that comes. Hold it. This ain't, I ain't putting up with this. I ain't going to be moody today.
Preach.
See, you know, your feelings will never change if we can't change our mouths.
Amen.
You can't change what you say. You can't change what you just walk along. Well, you know, well, so and so, you know, they made me mad. Well, let's get unmad about that. You know, somebody made me mad. Were you going to stay mad? What are you going to do? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Well, you're going to sin if you stay angry all the time.
Amen. Come on.
We need to know this, how this thing works. Understand there's forces. You know, you go out here and somebody does something to you, you're going to have thoughts come to your mind about that you'd have never thought yourself. And know what the devil do? He'll convince it it's your mind thinking this while he's putting these thoughts on you.
Amen. Preach.
While he's, well, they did this to you. You ought to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I'm the only one that's ever had that happen. You just... But you know what? Then he knows how to play the game. He'll make you feel guilty. He'll make you feel guilty. No, you need to bring every thought the Bible says we read before. Bring every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
He didn't say, you can't ever think any thoughts. Thoughts will come. You can't stop. People will bring bad thoughts to you.
Come on.
People will say things. Things will happen that will bring thoughts. Now in Colossians, let's go. I'm going to read you in Colossians because we know as Christians, we want to see this because Christ defeated Satan, and we need to see this about him, that we're not trying to defeat Satan. He's been defeated for us. Colossians tells us a wonderful thing in Colossians, the second chapter, and we're going to start looking at verse 13. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses." Now, he's writing to Christians, so we can say this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to you. This is what God did. You were in this place. You were dead in trespasses. In other words, you were dead in sin. The uncircumcision of your flesh, And when you were dead in sin, your flesh ruled and reigned. So we need to understand this. As a Christian, our flesh shouldn't rule and reign.
Come on.
It shouldn't be ruling and reigning.
Amen.
Now, we can let it. But we should. We and understand this. We can't believe. You know, I don't know if you remember, many years ago, there was a comedian who used to have a show on TV. His name was Flip Wilson. And Flip Wilson, he used to dress up like a woman. His name was Geraldine. Now, he did this for fun as comedy. Today, it's actual dress. You know, men dressing like women because they think they are. That's what he wasn't doing. He was a comic. But he used to do this dress up. But he had this thing of doing things wrong. And he'd say, the devil made me do it. Well, they used to talk about that. There's a lot of Christians thought that was theology. They thought that was accurate. The devil made me do it. But the whole thing of it is dealing with this. We need to know as Christians, we're in this position. This is being dead. We were dead in sin. That's where we were at. In trespasses. That's sin. And the uncircumcision of the flesh. He made alive together with him, having forgiven our trespasses. We've been made alive to Christ. We're alive. We're not dead anymore. We're alive. And we're talking about here from the standpoint of spiritual death. Man was dead in sin. Now, he says this. What he did, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he had taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, you understand, he says here, the handwriting that was against us, it was the law of sin and death. That was what held against us. That was the things against us. See, Satan will use those. You need to understand this. The devil will come along and take the law and try to throw it in your face of your past, or even things maybe you did as a Christian, but you repented of. He'll always try to bring that. Well, if you were a good Christian, you would. Or you, and you walk around, Christians are saying all the time they're feeling bad about themselves because of past things, past life. You know what? I gave this up. I didn't have a past life. That guy's dead.
Amen.
The guy that was dead in sin, I ain't dead in sin. So that guy's gone. The guy ain't here. My past life before I was saved. That wasn't. I ain't the same guy. So you got to put that past life away, because if you don't, you will carry the thinking of the past life along into this life. And as a Christian, you'll live under the same bondage that you had when you were back yonder. Mm-hmm. You ever notice about this about a Christian? A Christian, somebody accepts Christ, comes along, and if they fall away from God, they go back to the sin that they were doing before they came to Christ. Almost always go back. They fall into the same traps they were in before, get hooked up in it. Lack of knowledge, that's why. See, you get away from it, the devil, how he trapped you before, will take you back to the trap. That's what he does. Takes you back to the trap. Falling into the same thing. See, you need that stuff has been wiped out against you. So you need to understand that. There's not a record anymore. That's been wiped out. That handwriting against you has been wiped out. It was nailed to the cross. This is why people who sing songs like Stay Near the Cross, they usually stay near death. They don't stay near life. They stay near death. I don't stay near the cross. I stay near the throne.
Amen.
You stay near the throne, not near the cross. The cross, the Bible says, the New Testament, it's a place of sin and shame. See, that's where we bring sinners to the cross. But we nail them on there and want to keep them there. We're not nailing people to the cross. Hallelujah. Well, he goes on to say, what did he do? It says, having disarmed principalities, powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So he disarmed, it says, principalities. Those principalities, there's one of the terms that it's used for that on it, in its meaning is they're magistrates. These magistrates, these are ones who held authority. Because it says in powers, that word there is a word translated, most of the time it should be translated authorities. So Satan had really a legal system that he operated over you and had the authority to do that. He removed that from them. They no longer have that authority anymore. That's been ripped from them. Now, if you look up in the Greek, I like it under the Strong's Concordance, the word triumphing there, in fact, they do it. They said, really, the meaning of that word is a term that the Romans used. And that's when Rome, they would defeat an enemy, and then they would turn around and take the leaders of their enemy, and they would bring them to Rome. And they would hold a parade. They'd put them in shackles and everything. And they'd have this big triumphant parade. And they would march all the prisoners down through, and everybody would cheer and all that kind of stuff. So that's what it's saying. This is what it's talking about here. See, Satan's been defeated. Jesus Christ has marched him down through, shackled up. He doesn't have authority. And so we need to understand this. Now, you know, it's just like today, we have criminals, and we have criminals out here doing things. One of the things that from the standpoint of people crime, repeated crime, is because of our justice system. I don't know why they call it that, because most of the time it ain't just anyhow, and it doesn't deal with people and their problems. I mean, we have repeat offenders. I worked in a prison system. Now, people talk about how it is today. Well, it's been bad, because, I mean, I can go back over into the early 90s, and the prison system here, we would turn around, see, we'd get corrections officers, we could find out about anybody that was under our, you know, that we watched over or anything like that. And you'd go find out, my God, guy 40, 50 times been arrested. Never spent hardly any time in jail, you know. They just pass them through. So this today ain't nothing new. We've been doing this stuff for ages on end. People come through. We had guys pull up rap sheets, 50, 60 times arrested. They just go all over the United States, commit crimes, and it's all recorded, and they go before judges. And I thought, who are these judges? Who are these people? I didn't run into many good ones. Oh, yeah, this guy, he's a good conservative. Yeah? What does that mean? Good don't let crooks run around on the street and thieves and people beating people up and all that, but they did. You know, come along and just... People out here running around, 80s, when I was in there, it was 86 point something, and today it's the same thing, 80, return rate. You know, when all the guys come along and they say, well, I can't wait to get out of jail. I say, what do you want to get out so bad? You're coming back. I used to tell them all the time, because I knew how the ones that acted right, didn't act right, they're coming back. I could pick a fake out in a minute. Mm-hmm. Loads of them would join up and become Christians. Because, see, that's to get out. See, I'm going to be good while I'm here. The devil knows how to do that. Play good. He knows exactly how to do that.
Come on, preach.
Plays good. I mean, sometimes the worst of the worst, they play good like a really nice and go before the judge. Oh, you're nice now, little puppy. You're good. Out he goes. Never serve their time. They don't ever serve them. I always get this kick out of the day. You know, they always say, you know, this guy was sentenced to 40 years. He'll never spend 40 years. Ain't going to ever happen. He'll probably be out in 3. They can say anything they want. Well, Jesus ain't like that. And see, you need to understand the devil's a crook, a thief, and a liar. And you need to become the sheriff in town. This guy's been stripped of his authority. Hallelujah. You need to keep him locked up concerning your life. You need to do that. You need to keep him locked up. Quit waiting for somebody else to take care of this thing. See, I found out I had to take care of things on my own. But see this, Jesus Christ defeated him. Now, in Hebrews, the second chapter, I'm going to read to you here in Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 14, I'm going to read you. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now that word, they use the word destroy there, but it means he did away with it, or he made of no effect, or made it nothing. Do you know, the devil, as God's saying, is nothing. So you need to get an idea of what he does and what he could do. He's a nothing. See, he can say all kind of things to you. He can bring thoughts to you. But he can't do the things to you that you will not allow him to do to you. See, you need to get in this thinking. See, done away with. He said the power of death, and that word power is the dominion or the strength of death. See, the fear of death, a lot of people don't realize this. The fear of death drives people all the time. The fear of dying. You wouldn't realize if you ever thought about yourself how many decisions you made because you were afraid of death. See, I found out this. You can't walk in divine health till you get over a fear of death.
Come on.
Can't do it. You got to lose the fear about dying.
Amen.
People don't. People are scared to go and die. What word says do this? Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. No, that's pretty scary. I want to believe God. You know, we talk about like guys like John G. Lake and them, but you know, John G. Lake and those guys back in their day, they didn't believe in going to the doctors. They never did. Now, you know, God ain't against doctors, but they believe they were the idea. They would rather die believing God than go to a doctor. Now, see, we sit down and look at the miracles those people had. John G. Lake, up in Spokane, Washington, he had a ministry up there. In fact, during his time that his ministry was there, the United States government certified it as the healthiest city in the United States. He had over 100,000 people healed. They would go to his healing rooms. His healing rooms they went to. If somebody came there, wanted to be healed, they had over 100,000 people documented even by doctors, because the most of them that got healed there were people who doctors had said there was no hope for them. And they would come there. But you know what? To go there, what you had to do? You had to quit all medications and all doctors. We don't talk about those things. We always cheer on what those guys, but we don't talk about what they did. But that's what you had to do to go there. And they had over 100,000 people with terminal ailments healed, delivered. Doctors couldn't take care of them. Over 100,000. Well, to do that, you're going to have to get over the fear of death. You're going to have some confidence in God. People walked in a different level than they do today. See, we want to have what they had. We can't. Now, I'm not saying this to be mean to anybody. You're going to have to come to a higher level of faith.
Amen. Preach.
We're going to have to come to a higher level. Now, that didn't mean, I ain't telling anybody, well, you don't see the doctor. If you need him, you better go. If your faith ain't up to doing that, get what help you can. You get what help you can. That's what you do. But see, there's ways of thinking. We're not at this place. Now, understand this. I mean, his miraculous ministry in South Africa, which was phenomenal, that's what they taught there. People didn't go to the doctors. All these healing, all the stuff that God did through those miraculous. And, you know, it's like people say, well, you know, well, we don't do that today, and today we have this. But I can just say this, have we done better? It takes it coming over there to what you're going to stand. God dealt with me on some of these things. It's one of the things is learning to stand in little things. People don't learn to stand in little things. They go get help on every little thing. Then when the big thing comes, they yell at God. Well, you don't have much confidence God's going to do a whole lot when you have not really responded to Him on the little stuff.
Amen.
See, God taught me in the little stuff concerning healing. He took me through to learn to trust Him. He took me over the areas of, no, I want you to stand. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a guy, he was a Rhema graduate one time. He was supposed to be a minister, but he said this one time, he said to me personally, he said, well, he said, if I get a headache, I take an aspirin. He said, it's easier. And I said, well, yeah, but I said, I learned how to do it and I don't get the headaches. So I said, that's a whole lot easier. I said, I ain't had a headache in so many darn years, I can't even tell you the last time I ever had one. Well, I didn't get there without starting off back there, standing through some headaches to learning how to believe God. I was standing through, learning how to take a hold of this stuff. You just don't all of a sudden one day, boom, I got it. Yep, that's going to happen. That don't work like that. It's like everything. You know, it's like being a soldier. You know, when I went in the military, they gave me a uniform and gave me a gun and I wasn't a soldier. You're in a soldier because you got a uniform. See, I'll tell you what, you'll find out if you're a soldier when the war starts and you're in it. If you ain't ever been in war, you don't know what kind of soldier you are. You find out what you are in battle.
Come on, preach.
How have you been doing in battle? Well, see, I found out a lot about me I didn't like in some battles. I found out things that, whew, this end guy needs to make some changes. I need to do stuff. But when I found this I'm talking to you about here are basic things that you need to get into yourself, into your believing that Satan is defeated. You can't face your enemy if you think he has some kind of hold or some kind of higher spot. You can't do it. You need to understand this. You can't kick him out if you think he has a hold in some way. I heard Kenneth Hagin made this statement, and listen to it, it'll help you. He said, I got saved, and he said, I spent 16 months paralyzed in a bed. And he said, I did because of this. He said, there was all this stuff. He said, I was wondering about it. I wanted answers to things. And he said, when you're wondering and you want answers to things, you can't have faith. He said, when I finally got faith, I got my answers to my questions. I could believe God and got out of the bed. Too many Christians, majority of Christians, are trying to stand in faith and they got questions. Which means, you got questions, you're not in faith yet. Get your question. This is why I'm teaching. We're answering questions. You need to come down and get questions so you can stand in faith.
Amen.
Standing in faith isn't, well, I got a little bit of information. No, you're going to need the whole thing so you can get through the whole thing. That's what you come to. See, you need questions. If you still have questions about something, you can't walk in faith with it. There's things that I can't walk in faith with. There's certain things that I want to know more about. I don't understand completely. I want to understand. I need further understanding. And when I get further, I know how to trust. I know how to walk now. I know how to walk in that. But until that comes, you can't walk in it. Why? You got a question? You can't have faith.
Yeah.
Faith is knowing the answer.
Yeah.
You know, when I found out I was healed, when I got that revelation that I was healed, I never tried to get healed again.
Amen.
You see, you know, God meets people where they're at. There's people, you know what? They're going to get sick and then they're going to believe God and get out of it. But they're going to keep doing that their whole life. They're going to get sick and they'll get sick and then they'll get out of it. Why? Because they don't know they're healed yet. What they do is they go into the healing thing after they get sick. When I found out I was healed and sickness come along, I can put the brakes on that thing. I'm healed. We ain't going through all this commotion and motion. Hallelujah, I am healed. See, if I know that I am healed, boy, I shut the door on the devil for bringing thoughts to me or ideas or even anything anybody else says. Why? My questions were answered on that area. So we can stop things. Most people teach faith from a standpoint like you're just going to happen to you and then you're trying, well, you're in this world, things are going to happen, but I'm more than a conqueror. I always triumph. Satan is defeated.
Amen.
I'm always the winner.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
What's the Bible talks about? That's what the Bible says. Well, I'm trying to overcome. I'm sorry, I already did.
Amen.
You're trying to, you don't believe you got there yet. You can't walk in faith. You can't walk in faith if you don't believe you arrived yet.
That's right. Amen.
Faith is saying I arrived when it don't look like I arrived at all. It doesn't look like I was. And I'm saying, I've arrived, I got it. Hallelujah. That's
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
The devil's saying, you're a nut. You're exactly right. I'm crazy about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm crazy about what he did. Amen. I'm crazy about his victory. Hallelujah. That I got.
Amen.
I earned none of this.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't do one great thing to get this. I didn't achieve one thing. Again, he achieved it all. All I had to do was sit down at the throne and act like it was true. Hallelujah. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. We sang about that. Are you a king?
Amen.
Who's the King of kings?
Jesus.
Are you a king?
Yes, sir.
Well, we might say I'm a king. Are you acting like you are?
Come on,
when sickness knocks on your door, do you act like a king? Or are you a peasant? Trying to get the king to do something about it. I'm the king that can do something about it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In my terrain, in the place that I rule over, hallelujah, I can do something about it. Why? Jesus Christ has given me the authority.
Amen.
See, it's how you think. How do you think? Get yourself over and think. This is what the Bible teaches we are, hallelujah, not going to be someday. Just think about it. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, all this was yours.
Yes.
I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. All of it is ours. What I've been studying the Bible stories to try to find out about all this mine.
Yes.
And I'm always surprised there's so much more. It just amazes me. This is mine. This belongs to me. It was given to me. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ has already been given to me. I'm not trying to attain them. I'm just trying to find out about them.
Yes. Amen.
So when I find out what it is, now let's walk like that's true. Now this is mine. I have it. And it's the same with you. You're not trying to get God to give you things. He's already given you everything. You must possess the land.
Yes.
God said to Israel, I'm going to take you over this land wherever you put your foot. Where have you been putting your foot? What you been? Have you stepped on things? Say, hey, this is mine. Everybody said, that can't be. You just don't understand. God made you sick for a reason. So don't step on healing. Whatever you do, don't. Because God has a reason that you're sick. I never met a person yet that told me that. When I asked them why they were sick, well, then why are you sick? They could give me an answer. I say, if you know why you're sick, how are you going to get changed? God teaches me. What's He trying to teach you? So a guy said to me one time, I'm in a service, said this, and I called him out. He said, well, God makes you sick to humble you. I said, are you still sick because you're full of pride? I just was blunt with him. Are you going to say something stupid like that? You got to wake a knucklehead up like that, or the devil will keep him bound.
Come on.
People need to be embarrassed. They don't even know why. Well, if I can humble myself in 10 minutes. I don't have to do that. I don't have to wait 6 years to make that happen. So if I humble myself, I should get healed immediately, shouldn't I? Well, he wouldn't get healed. Why? Because of his ignorance. But see, you don't admit ignorance because then people find out you don't know everything like you think you do. It's called pride goes before destruction. See, people get prideful. Hallelujah. I didn't gain any of this. I received it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad I didn't have to work for it. Because I'm just going to tell you what, I'd have never earned it. You couldn't earn it either. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
See, when you think about it, in Mark the 11th chapter, in Mark the 11th chapter, Mark 16th chapter, Jesus made this statement, Mark 16, he said, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world, he said, preach the gospel to all creation. Go out there and preach it to everybody. Who he believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. The first thing that Jesus tells them before he leaves, what sign's going to follow them? The first thing he says to them, in my name you'll cast out demons. Then he said, they will speak with new tongues. Authority over demonic powers. The first thing that Jesus says, authority. Why? Because Satan's defeated. You have authority. Satan's authority has been taken. You got born again. He doesn't have authority over you. Did you ever notice that you're living here in America and some other country's president or king or whomever can't, well, just decree something about you? Why? He doesn't have any authority over you. See, this one world junk going out and making everybody some kind of authority, you know, they hate that with Trump because Trump says, hey, this is our nation. You guys ain't decreeing things and we have to follow it. Go jump. Boy, that shakes everybody up. But you know who it shakes up? It shakes up Christians because Christians have become these really mealy things that, oh, we're just so submissive to everything and we just want the world to be a nice, cute. The world ain't going to be some nice, cute place till the devil and all of his buddies are wiped off the face of the earth and... Until that happens, it ain't going to be cute. But see, it's one thing. You've been given authority. So the first thing that happened, Jesus said, you have authority. Why? Satan's authority has been stripped from him over you. Now, he's not. You need to understand this about people out here who are under Satan's kingdom. Now, understand, you're a child of God, but somebody who's not born again is not. Satan has authority over them. They're not in the same place. And I coming into Christianity, when I came in and these people say things to people like, well, we're just in the same as you. We're just people like you. And I just think, why? What the Bible teaches? It's not what the Bible teaches. We're not. And you need to understand this. I don't care how much you love your whoever it is in your family. If they're not born again, they're under the authority of Satan.
Yes.
They're under Satan's authority. They don't have. You need to understand this. I see a Christian say this all the time to sinners. Try to get them to pray. No, get saved. They have no authority with God. Unsaved, they don't have authority. They can't demand anything. You and I can demand.
Yes.
It's ours. It belongs to us. They can't. They can't stop the devil when they belong to him. He has authority over them. You need to understand this. We've made up this Christianity, made up of things and don't realize. There's authorities and powers that you're dealing with. You know? Just, you know, like we have jurisdictions out here and that stuff. And, you know, police in one jurisdiction don't have authority over the next jurisdiction and all this kind of stuff. We need to understand this about stuff going on. But we don't. We walk along and we got this fairy tale Christianity, you know, and everybody's skipping rope together and singing Kumbaya and all this kind of stuff. And they don't understand dealing with authority. And we just, I was really amazed that I had my one brother, he, you know, spirit filled, but sometimes I wonder where he's coming from. But he, you know, telling people, this guy, you know, telling God, you know, one time about he ought to pray. And I said, why are you telling him to pray as a sinner? And he's get saved. I said, he doesn't have authority to ask God for anything. I said, God gave him this thing. If he will call on the name of the Lord will save him. But I said, you can't find anything else from Scripture. You see, the New Testament wasn't written to sinners. The New Testament was not written to sinners.
Yes.
It's not written to sinners. It's to saints. Do you realize this? And the Bible teaches it. The law wasn't to the Gentile. It was to the Jew. The Gentile had no covenant right to Israel's blessing. They had no covenant right to it. It wasn't given to them. See, they were a picture like the church. The church has a covenant. But we've so stirred the pot and made a mess of things to where Christians identify more with themselves, with humanity in general, than who they really are. We're singing, we're a chosen generation. Is all that true? Or is that just nice things to sing on a Sunday morning? And what gives me a boost, bumps, I really feel better. But I go home, the devil's going to eat my lunch. They're true. You're a covenant person. I'm saying these things, understand. You're dealing with a foe. You need to understand this, what you really are. The glory that is in you. People are trying to get what they got. So when I was a young Christian, the Lord said to me one day, he said, why are my people trying to get from me what they already got? Why are they doing that? Well, I knew he said he was just awakening me the thought. I thought, yeah, that's what people are doing. They're trying to get from God what's already theirs. They aren't claiming what belongs to them. No, they're just trying to get it like God's holding out. See, why aren't you healed? Well, God has a purpose in all this. You know, there's a purpose. I mean, he's holding back for a reason. No, he's holding back because that's your belief. Mm-hmm. That's your belief. Yep. And in this earth, you need to understand, God is not in authority. You are. The church is. The world is. The world yields their authority to demonic powers. Oh, I know. I've run around Christians. They didn't think they were real bad before they got saved. And I said, you were the worst of the worst. The devil was running you, and you didn't think you were bad. You think you got, you know, you didn't need much cleaning up. No, you were the ugliest of the bunch. You thought you were righteous. Self-righteousness. Don't get any uglier than that. Self-righteousness never needs faith. I get what I get from God because I'm so darn good. I get what I get from God because He's so darn good. That's what I get. I get because He's so darn good. And He's so darn good, He gave it to me before I even got good. All humanity. He went to the cross and did this all for all humanity. So when I walked into the kingdom one day, the package was waiting for me. My God, FedEx delivered.
Yes.
They deliver, you open that box up, and I've been pulling stuff out of there all since I got born again, all these years. Pulling stuff out of the box. Always better stuff in the box.
Yes.
But that's us. See, get your thinking about yourself. Who you see that you are and what you are. We need to grab a hold of this. Now, because, you know, we need to come to a place that Satan and all his dominion, they've been defeated. They've been stripped of their authority over you. They don't have the power to hold you in bondage or under the curse. They don't have that authority to do that. See, get in your thinking. See, when you get, I would do this, and I still do this. Something will happen, and I'll get mad. I ain't mad at God. I'm mad because this thing happened. I ain't supposed to have this. See, there's things you stand patiently for. There's things, man, you get into a brawl over. There's things I will get into a brawl over. It's like, no, devil, you ain't doing this. We ain't having this in tight place.
Amen.
This is not going. You know, God ain't sending storms. Jesus spoke to them. See, there's one thing as I learned, and Lord, I was just a young Christian, and the Lord asked me one day as I was reading and studying the Word, He said, do you notice? He said, I never prayed about animate objects. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh. See, He spoke to trees and storms, and He spoke to stuff. He said, do you notice that? I said, no. Boy, that was a revelation light, come on. I'd never heard anybody teach or say that. I'd never, that way. Now, I went over and I listened to people. After that, I started to understand. But it's turned on in me. See, there's things we're praying about. You're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You're an authority here. You talk
That's
to
right.
it. Down here on this earth, you tell it.
Yes. Amen.
You'd better talk to it. You better learn to talk to them. People say, he talks to himself. No, ma'am, I'm talking to stuff. I'm talking to that tree over there. You talk to trees, sure enough. Talk to storms. I talk to things.
That's right.
I talk to stuff. Hallelujah. See, you learn to do that. I mean, you can ask Wanda. You can ask my kids. Two times we were at the shore, hurricanes come up the coast. Two times we were down there. I was on vacation. I said, well, the devil ain't stealing my vacation. God wouldn't send nothing up here. I'm on the beach. You can go to anybody else's beach you want. Tear one up here on, but they ain't tearing the one up on. I said, the devil, I know what I did. I did this with my wife and kids, and my brother and them were there and other people. And I said, the devil ain't stealing my vacation. And we were down at Rehoboth Beach. We're on Rehoboth Beach. And that thing's coming up through. And it got them just down the coast, down in Ocean City, Maryland. But it went off the shore. Because I stood there and said, that thing ain't coming here. I said, tomorrow I'm going to be on the beach. And the next day, I went up on the beach in the morning. It was just sunny and nice. And it was empty. Because everybody else ran. But Ed was and his family were on a nice beach. To ourselves. A couple people here and there. Way out yonder. Hallelujah. We did that two times. See, I learned to talk to stuff. See, you come to things. People, we accept, we do it today. But you know what? It wasn't just me. I was around people who did that kind of stuff. Why? Because we believed a whole different way than people believe today.
Amen. Come on.
And I started to see it happen back in the 90s. Rainbow even pastors him. You get too extreme. Nobody gets stuff to happen. You're too extreme. Yes, I am extreme. I like extremely good stuff to happen, Ed.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, big minister in his big church and stuff, big ministry and that stuff, and telling me I'm too extreme, and then he has a devil problem in his church and asks me to come down. Why? Because he knows he can't deal with it.
Come on.
He's getting an extremist down there. Who extremely ain't going to put up with the devil. Look, I was a baby Christian. I mean a baby Christian. Only, I don't know if I was even a month old yet. First time God told me to. God didn't take care of things. The devil was in my house making my family sick. I got saved and the devil attacked my family. See, I found this lots of times. Over the years, I saw this. The devil would affect people around me because where I was walking. And so I learned to take authority over him concerning things, doing things, people. Yeah. See, he wants to get me sidetracked. See, he attacked my family.
Yeah.
So he attacked my family. Everybody's sick. Wanda and the kids are sick. You know, I just got saved. I was having a good time and Wanda and the kids are sick. That can take the good time out of it. I'd, you know, mess with me, mess with my family. You better put the gloves on before you do that. Because you will be in a fight.
That's right.
And they might carry you out of the ring.
Preach.
When you're down, I might kick you. I don't put up with the devil when he's doing this. And you know, it's bothered me. My mother-in-law comes to the house. I'm getting ready to go to work. Wanda and the kids are sick. She walks in the house. She's complete well, walks in the house. All of a sudden has to throw up. And she made, now she wasn't born again at the time. She got born again later on. But she said, the devil's got this place. And I thought, yeah, that is what's going on here. So, I mean, I'm a baby Christian. I ain't never cast no devils out, never done anything. So I went to work and asked God what to do. He said, he didn't say, well, I'll take care of this. He said, you got to go home and throw the devil out of your house. See, it's my house. It ain't his.
That's
see,
right.
But see, this my stuff belongs to God. Yeah, that's a good way of getting out of taking your authority.
Come on.
Mine don't belong to God. It belongs to Ed. It's under my authority.
Amen.
I'm the guy in charge there, not God. God can only do in my house what I let him.
Yeah, preach.
And that your house is identical, but you've let another God sometimes come and visit too often.
Come on.
Woo! I know. I've done it. I've let visitors in we shouldn't have had. But anyhow, he said, you got to go home and throw him out. That's what he said to me. I'm standing on at an oven. You know, it's nice and hot, 500 degrees, you know, in the front of that oven and that stuff. And I'm standing up there and we're doing some stuff. And I'm thinking, and God's talking to me. You got to go home and throw the devil out of your house. I said, boy, that's exciting. How do you do that? I know what he did. He gave me some scriptures. That's where I tell the story. I went home. I drive home. I get home. I'm working second shift. It's nighttime. It's about probably 11:30 or so. And, you know, I'm going to throw the devil. You know, you get pretty excited. You know, you got the scriptures in you. You got a revelation. And I walked up and opened that door. And I'm going to tell you, power come out that door. And I'm going to tell you, the first thing that hit me was fear. My God, the power come out that door of that house when I stepped up there. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what, it must have been a big devil. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, there's power there came out that door. I mean, the first thing I did, I wanted to back off. But all of a sudden, on the inside, see, you get something on the inside. Do you know what happens? You can find, when you run into trouble and you don't get nothing rise up, it's because you didn't put nothing in you to rise up.
That's the truth. Yep.
All of a sudden, inside, I got mad. I thought, uh-uh, buddy, this is my house.
Amen.
And I wasn't just got up there. I'm going to tell you, it isn't all fear disappeared. You know how soldiers don't go to battle and nobody's afraid that something happened. If a person isn't afraid, it's because they're insane. Your flesh is going to recoil to things.
Mm-hmm.
My flesh may recoil to death, but my inner man don't give a rip.
Come on.
And I just marched right in the door, never said a thing to Wanda or any of them, and just started marching through the house casting devils.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? Everybody got well. You need to understand this. A lot of sickness and disease goes around. It's the devil and people trying to do all kinds of things. They wonder why they go through stuff and go whatever. People trying to get things well and can't get them well over the years because they're dealing with demonic powers and that's never dealt with. Doctors can't. Doctors' medication don't take care of devils.
Come on, preach.
They may cause you to be able to, you know, to keep some symptoms down or something like that. But see, we need to understand this thing. This is why we've got to find out what's going on, dealing with things. Don't let the devil mess with you. But see, I was just a young Christian. God didn't go take care of that for me. I didn't run to somebody else and pray and say, you need to come out. Let's go get a priest somewhere. Let him get some holy water and something else and come out here and we'll get rid of this thing out of my house. Why? Maybe he'll listen to the priest, but he ain't going to listen to you.
Come on.
Whoever stands in authority,
mm-hmm.
That's who he'll listen to. So stand in authority. Hallelujah. Walk in light. In Ephesians, I just want to go over here with this in Ephesians. We're just going to start into this. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Because we're going to go into this in teaching in this area. Things that we're dealing with and about you, what you're supposed to do and put on. And if you do this, I'm going to tell you what. You become fearless concerning Satan. You'll become the place in that stuff. You won't worry about it. You won't have fears and things. We're going to get down through this, and as we go through it, teach them, we're not going to win this. We're going to go into dealing with put on the whole armor of God. The armor of God is about dealing with the devil.
Yes.
That's what it's for. It's what it's written about. You put on the whole armor of God, you can stand against the devil. That's what you do. Reason people can't stand, because they don't. We're going to talk about what the armor actually is. You know, there are illustrations that he uses here, but we're talking about spiritual things. These are spiritual, natural things said to, you know, bring across to us spiritual revelations. But he says here in this, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what he says? Be strong in the Lord. He didn't say, you be strong. You be strong in the Lord. In other words, you get God in you. You get to walking in life. See, we're teaching these things. Why? So you get strong in the Lord, what he will do. Because if I act in my authority, he will always back me up. Your authority is no good if God wouldn't back it up. It's just like with police officers they're dealing with today. They go arrest criminals, take them to the courts, and the courts let them back out on the street. diminishes authority.
Yes.
The police have no authority. Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody to back them up. You know? Lousy politicians that have turned around and got into court systems and turned around and they're judges and they're whatever. And all this stuff is going out. You need to come down to this. This is why you need to get in you who God is. We can't walk in the light of the natural. The natural will discourage you all the time. I look at the church world today, how little authority Christians have and walk in. Well, they got it, but they don't ever walk in it. Trying to get God to do all kind of things that falls under their authority and under their realm. Where they walk. Now, I'm talking to you personally. You can't take care of everybody else's stuff.
Amen.
But you take care of your stuff. You learn how to do this. Learn how to walk in the light taking care of your stuff.
Amen.
You take care of your house, your family. You know? My house, you know, is my castle. That's my castle. And in my castle, Ed Gibson rules and reigns.
Amen.
He is the end of all authority. Not one is not. I am. Men, you need to strap up. Because I'm going to tell you what, the devil ain't going to listen to two heads. You need to come to the place. See, I found this out. See, number one, God taught me from the beginning. I was in charge and I was supposed to be the guy. The buck stops here. You know, we had politicians say, yeah, the buck stops here. Usually don't. It only goes off to someplace else. But you literally got to come to that place where the buck stops here. When it deals with spiritual things, I'm sorry. See, you got to become the head of the authority in the home, spiritual authority, if you're not. See, this is why, you know, they even say today they do natural studies on homes. Homes that have just a woman and she's raising kids, they don't do near as well as they do when there's a husband in there. Never do as well. Why? Because it's out of God's order.
That's right.
It's out of God's order. It's order of God's authority. See, the devil got in and today the divorce and everything's okay in the church and all this stuff and Christians don't have to act right and get divorced and all kind of stuff. Nobody deals with any of that stuff about that. Say, hey, hold it. Let's put the brakes on this stuff. Because we don't really, on the long run, people are going to pay.
Yes.
It's going to cost. It's going to cost. And so we need to understand that. You know? You know, we do all this stuff of, you know, making vows and stuff and getting married and ain't worth spit. People say them. You going to really keep these vows? For better or for worse? No, only for better. The worst part, we split. But we'll lie about it to go through that wedding day and act like we're having a great time. Lynette Hagen was asked, while we were at Rhema, they were doing one class on a minister's family. They asked a question of if she ever thought about divorce. And she said, no. She said, murder, but I've never thought about divorce. You're laughing, ladies, but you thought it. It made you feel good when you thought it, too, didn't it? See, that's a good idea. Hallelujah. But we're supposed to be strong in the Lord, what? In the power of His might. See, this is where, if the Word of God gets in you and faith rises up in you, you're trusting in God's ability. That's what faith's about. I can't trust on my ability. I'm very limited. I'm limited in what I can do. God's unlimited. My faith is built in the fact that He's unlimited. And then my faith is in the fact of what He says in the Word He would do for me with His power. This is how you walk in the power of God. Isn't walking around feeling strong? No? That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. What's he talking about? He's talking about being in faith. I'm in a place where I can't do nothing about this, but I'm believing in the one who will. The one who can do this and take care of this. That's where my trust is at. That's where you have to do. This is where in the battle. This is how you're strong in the Lord. I'm strong in what He'll do. Sometimes I wonder about what I might do. You know? Sometimes don't you ever feel like you're just sort of hanging on here? You're just hanging on at something? But you know, your faith is in the fact what He will do for you. And that's what being strong in the Lord is. That's where you want to stay in that place. Then he says this, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now the wiles, that just means his methods, his schemes, his trickery, whatever it is. If you look up what it means that. The wiles of the devil, these are these things. Why? The armor of God is for this purpose. And let me tell you, you're in a warfare. The armor is never to come off.
Yes. That's right.
Why? Should I tell you what happens? This is what happens to Christians. They take their armor off. How do they do it? Well, they get in between where everything's going along good and they're not really into the Word, they're not really in fellowship with God, and all of a sudden, something happens. Mm. Now they're running back, trying to get into the Word, trying to get their armor back on, trying to get themselves. We're going to talk about this. See, when I was in the Army, you know, when I was in Vietnam, you know, you were out in the battle areas and that stuff, you know, armor ain't something you just took off and threw it in a locker somewhere. Your flak jackets and your helmets and your stuff you had there, you know, you didn't lay the shield of faith down someplace. You didn't put your weapon off someplace there with the sword of the Spirit. You didn't do none of that. But see, Christians are walking around unarmed all the time. Then they want to get armed, you know, when trouble comes. No, it's something that you wear, and we're going to talk about it, because it's dealing with the Word of God, all of it is. As you walk along in the light, you stay in it. It's a position, a place you stay in. Yes. You're always in readiness. So if the battle comes, I got my stuff.
Yes.
Amen.
We never went anywhere without our flak jackets and helmets and weapons and stuff. You've just had it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can go nowhere without it. You walk around your skivvies all day. That's Christian, dude. They walk around their skivvies all day. That's all they do. Christians walk around their skivvies. Battle comes, and they get shot. And then they got to call for the prayer chain. And then they got to get this guy. And they got to go get that guy. And let's just this. And let's do that. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Let's put the brakes on this thing.
Amen.
No, when the shots are fired, I can shoot back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's where you want to walk. You want to walk in that place. See, the Lord told me when I started off, He said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you to walk by faith. Well, He taught me about a soldier. See, Paul taught about soldiers. See, we're here about a fight. The church don't teach about soldiers and fighting and that stuff. The church ain't nothing but full of civilians.
Amen.
We ain't civilians.
Amen.
We're an army.
That's
hallelujah.
Right. That's right.
You know, it's always tough when you have 10 soldiers and 3,000 civilians you're trying to take care of.
Come on.
That's the church world today. No soldiers. It's just civilians. Civilians want all the protection of the soldiers. They want all the stuff that the soldiers.
Come on.
See, there's a war going on out here.
Yes, sir.
And in America, Satan's been winning.
Yes.
People are saying, oh God, help. And we got to stand up.
That's right.
We do.
Amen.
We stand up. This isn't ugly. I'm going to tell you what. I don't want to be the guy that has to wait around on what everybody else is going to do to see if I get anything.
Come on.
Right.
I ain't going to do that.
Amen.
Never. My parents, thank God, they didn't raise me like that.
Right.
You either get in and take your part or, you know, or you ain't getting nothing.
Come on.
See, I had five older brothers. You either get in there and get yours or you ain't getting nothing. I was the youngest of the family. They didn't think I was a real sweet, cute thing. They'd take advantage. You know, you need to understand that. That's what the devil does. He takes advantage. And you know what? I found this. A lot of Christians yield to them, and that's what they do to people. Take advantage all the time.
Amen.
Always taking somebody else's advantage of somebody else's spirituality and never do nothing about their own.
Amen.
We don't do that. I want to be one, if I can be called on, at least I could be some help.
That's right. Amen.
I'm called on, at least I got a gun. You know? You know, we're all this today. You know, we're on. My God, you know, we're allowed to be armed, and they want to carry a real gun. Walking around with real guns, spiritually can't do squat.
Come on.
They want to find their spiritual gun. The devil got it. It's in his armory.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. He knows I can shoot him.
Hallelujah.
He knows this. I'll pull the trigger.
Yes.
I won't think about it. I won't wonder. I'll pull the trigger. You know, I'm believing in shooting and asking questions later.
Yes.
When it comes to the devil, you shoot. Then you go talk
Amen.
About it. If he's gonna say anything, it's because he's got a hole in him. We got to be that way.
Amen.
These are not natural things. Now, he says, So we put on this, we're supposed to be, why? We got to stand against these wiles. He said, why? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so we're not in a wrestling match with people. It's a do not then, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. We do rule here. This is one of the things where there are rulers here that we need. These ones are in here. Now, he talks about them. If you, again, he said, here, he used the word principalities. Again, that's the term magistrates. So there's these magistrates. Now, these are, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, this is the lowest level. Now, you know what a magistrate is interesting? Because when you look it up, our lowest level on the judicial system are magistrates. When a police arrest, they take a person before a magistrate, and the magistrate decides whether or not they're going to hold charges of a person and put them in jail. The cop just don't take them and go throw them in jail. Now, you've watched too many Westerns. They don't do that. They might have done that those days before, but they don't do now. They got to take them down. The magistrate decides whether or not that the person whose charges can be held, and so they put them in jail, and then let the local judges and that stuff, they decide, you know, who the AG is, whoever they are, to find out whether or not that person, you know, they bring charges against that individual. See, he said it goes up the line. It goes up. These are the lowest one, these magistrates. Now, then he goes against rulers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, it's interesting because that word rulers itself means world rulers. They're world rulers. They're in this world and in this world system. Understand about it. There's two systems. Satan, in 2 Corinthians, I think, 4:14, it says about Satan is the god of this world. Is this world. See, there's a world system that he runs. You're not in this world system. We're going to talk about that because this is not your system. There is a world system. And in the world system, he's the god of that system. He's the final authority, Satan is. You need to understand it. Anybody who's not born again is under that system. Get that clear in your mind. We're wanting to reach them. You can sit around and say they're good people. They might, some might do good things, but they're not in good shape. They're on their way to hell. I don't care if your relative or who it is, you think they're so nice. If they're not born again, they're going to spend eternity in the place of the damned.
Preach. That's right. Preach.
Get that in your mind. They are under the authority. If you can't remove them from that kingdom, if you can't get them out of there, we're not in that kingdom. The Bible says we're not of this world, or this world system is not ours. This is not us. We're in another system. We got two systems. There's two classes of beings in this earth. You're not like everybody else. You're not like the world. You're not under its authority and sway. You might, people can yield to it, but that's because they choose to, but they're not actually under it. See, get it within yourself. Understand who you are. There's this system out here. These are world rulers. They're dominating. It goes on here to say what? They're spiritual wickedness, hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Now, what it says there in the heavenlies, that last one there, we have the rulers of darkness of this world. It says of this world, or it could be said of this age. The King James says world. The other ones say age. In other words, age or aeon, it's a period of time. See, for a period of time, Satan has rule here.
Yes.
He has a 6,000-year rule here in this earth. And then the millennium comes, he's locked up. He has a 6,000... In that rule time, he can use his authority. He has authority over those who are not in his kingdom. He doesn't have authority over you, but if he can get you to listen to him, you'll use your authority to let him do whatever he wants.
Come on.
Isn't he has authority? He don't have authority over you.
That's right.
But if you listen to him, he'll work through you. This is what he wants to do is just like with Adam and Eve. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Adam had authority. What did he do? He got Adam to use his own authority against himself and fall. We fall when we turn around. It isn't he has any authority to do anything to us. It's we yield our authority and let him. Okay, he can do this. And we say, well, I didn't know he was going to do that. Or I didn't. That's why you got to know your enemy.
Amen.
This is one reason we take it the natural. Don't know your enemy. Trump didn't know his enemy. Trump didn't realize. He didn't realize. See, this is one thing we need to know Americans. We know very little about the world if you're an American. Because you have this idea, our systems here teach us and say all these different kinds of things, but the rest of the world ain't operating like that. We got these people over there living over there, and they'd rather die than live under you. And if you come to fight, they're willing to die. They ain't going to quit. You see, this is one of the things that they had a hard time with Japan in the Second World War. The Japanese were taught under their system, no surrender. You don't surrender, you die. So even if the enemy, don't give the enemy a pleasure to kill you. Kill yourself. They do that. See, they're trained in that. See, you can't, you know what happens with people like that? You got to kill them. When you go to war, you're going to have to kill them. Because if you don't, if you let them go, they'll never quit fighting. They'll never stop. As I listened to a guy talk about his mother was Japanese, and her father was an American soldier who, after the Second World War, was on the forces that went into Japan and then, you know, helped with the setting up the government and all that kind of stuff, the things he did. And he married a Japanese woman. And her son said to us, he asked his mom what she thought about when they dropped the atomic bombs. And she said, "They saved my life." She said, "We were all told we were going to die. And we were supposed to fight till we die." She's a little kid. Took all the little kids out of school. And he gave him a sharp bamboo stick. And he said, "At least kill one American before you die. You're going to die." And she said, "Well, they dropped it and we stopped the fight." And she said, "They actually saved my life." She said, "Because we'd have just fought till we died. That's what they'd done." You know, there's people in this world, and I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to have to punish them so harshly, you're going to have to scare the hell out of them, that they won't continue to do what they do. And if you don't, they come and visit you, live with it.
Come on.
Be careful about what you want to go fight. You better make sure you got the gumption to fight it.
Come on.
See, we're dealing now with people, they only know death. That's all they know. This is what they're trained for. When I die, I go to heaven and I get 30 virgins or whatever. I don't know. What the hang would you do with 30 women? I've had enough with one. Well, thank God for the woman of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, 30? You know something wrong with them people. And you know what? I mean, there's only sex in life. That's as far as we get. I mean, this is... My God. Sound like a devil to me. But when people get into this way of thinking... So I want you to get a hold of this fact. The rulers of the darkness of this age, this is referenced specifically to the satanic period of time with this world system here. We're going to go on and talk about this. We're going to talk about, because of this, these rulers in this time, we're going to talk things about the country, the difference between us and this thing going on. See, this is the stuff of the darkness going on, but we're children of light. And we're going to talk about these things. You need to understand, you need to separate yourself and your thinking. Amen. If your thinking doesn't separate you, you're going to fall under the trap of the enemy all the time.
Amen.
See, when light came to me as a young Christian, it's serious concerning health and healing. When light came to me, the thoughts of darkness and all that kind of stuff, that went away. And that was gone. It became a thing to be easy to get healed. Because see, I disassociated myself with the kingdom. See, most people are tied to this world. The average Christian is tied completely almost to this world. And what the world offers and what the world has. And we're tied to it. We don't see ourselves separated from it. All the sickness and all the stuff going on, we're tied to it. We read the stuff and what's going on. We tie ourselves to it. No, this is operating outside. This is different. My kingdom, this isn't going on. This is going on in the kingdom of darkness. All this junk and all this stuff, that's the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light, this is not going on in it. We're people who can affect to help to push back darkness. Not to just read about it and say, "Isn't it sad?" But see, if you can't push darkness back in your own home, you ain't pushing it back anyplace else.
Preach.
That's right.
See, the Lord taught me, I learned how to operate in the Spirit, not in church. Never learned it in church. I learned it at home. I learned how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit at home. Did you ever sit down and look at, if you look at Jesus' ministry, and You look at the things that, there wasn't a lot going on. They went to synagogue, you get a person healed, they're there. The ministry's outside there. Gifts of the Spirit go on in the outside. I have had 100 times, 1,000 times more manifestations of the Holy Ghost outside of church than I've ever had in. I don't go to church for manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be people believing in that. We're supposed to be walking in that. We don't tell me to come to church to watch manifestation of the Spirit among the saints. You can have that every day.
Amen.
See, we've gotten backwards in this stuff. You look at the Old Testament, the prophets. How many times you see miracles were in the synagogue somewhere or in the temple somewhere? Where were they going on? It's manifestations of the Spirit of God were going on out there among the people. See, God will manifest Himself out there. You get yourself over. I mean, it's a constant. And I can say this truthfully. I constantly have manifestations of the Spirit. Constantly I get words of knowledge and stuff and things. Don't know what to do. Not to do by stuff. I mean, it's a constant. Constantly wisdom comes to about things. It's a constant. That should be, and that should be the norm for you as a Christian. Because you're a Christian. You're not like this world. We're not in a search for a God. The worldly church is in a search for God.
Come on.
Well, God searched for me and got me. And He said He ain't going to leave me or forsake me. So therefore, this is a pretty good system. I think I like this thing.
Hallelujah.
And so get that within yourself. Let's stand to our feet. Get that within yourself today. Get yourself in your thinking about this, of who and what you are. Think about the glory that is in you, not that you're trying to get. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what, you have the power of God.
Amen.
I'm not searching for power, I have it. I'm not in a search for power, I have it. What's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Jesus told him, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He didn't say, the Holy Ghost will come on you, then pray for power. You know, he said, you got it. There's power. You have power in you. But see, that power doesn't manifest unless you yield to that power. What are you saying? What are you proclaiming? What are you doing?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. Your mouth is your biggest enemy.
Come on.
What you have said comes to pass and comes to pass and comes to pass. You just like, I'll tell you what, as many times I had to shoot my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not shoot it off, just shoot it. See, many people, well, you know, I got something to say. Keep your mouth shut. When a person says that, they're going to say something dumb. You don't want to... Well, I believe it's this way. Don't care. Keep your mouth shut. You're going to shoot yourself. You're going to say what you believe in. It's probably something stupid. This is why you get the Word of God in you and you start speaking the right things around you. You start saying the right things around you. See, you can't walk around with armor on when the whole time your voice is stripping everything off of you all the time. It's stripping out of you. Talking about the problem. Well, this is going on and that's going on. Hey, it's going on. Talking about it. No. We got to get, you know what? I have a bad life, so let's get a group together and talk about my bad life. Boy, this has gone real healing. So we can go 30 years and we're still meeting in the group. It helps me to sit down and complain. If that isn't demonic, there ain't no demons.
Amen. That's right.
People have to be possessed in a way to think like that. That discussing your problems helps you. A person is demented who thinks like that. This is what I found out all the time. I found this over the years. You get people come to you and say, I want your help. So you take them and start giving them help in the Bible. No, they want to talk about their problem. Oh, that's going to change a lot. What you need is to talk about what you need to do, not your problem. You don't fix problems. No, no problem's ever fixed. Talk about problems.
That's right.
Say, do you have an answer? I'd be like, we got this problem. And I said to people, what do you want to do about it? Well, I don't know. Well, when you find out, come back. Well, if you don't have any kind of solutions, what's the point in talking?
Mm-hmm.
It's not being mean. It's just the way it is. We waste a lot of life, you know? A lot of good time. Where we could fix things and do stuff. But see, people, you know, I'm going to go tell you my problem and you give me the answer and I'll receive it if I like it. Oh, yeah. I don't like that solution. Well, that's what the Bible says. I don't know. That's what it is. This is what it says to do. Well, I want something else. Well, why'd you come to me? Did you really think you were going to get that? I don't know.
Come on.
I don't have something else to give. I don't give myself any of that advice.
Amen.
Sometimes I have to tell myself about what the Bible says, and I don't really want to hear that, but that's what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Hallelujah. Father God, that you have definitely made us new creations. I want to thank you, Lord God. The old has passed away. All things have become new. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Any man be in Christ is a new creation. We're new creations. That's what we are. We're not what we were. Hallelujah. We are what you made us. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. Lord God, we're not going to speak about the look like. We're going to talk about what the Word says we are. And I thank you, Lord God, that your Word working in us will make us look like, hallelujah, that new creation. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you that you've given everyone today here all the victory that they need in Christ Jesus. You've given them everything that they need. It's at their disposal, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, that the victory is theirs and belongs to theirs. Lord God, Lord, we know around us things are going on. Things try to happen. But I want to thank you, Lord. We're more than conquerors for the one who loved us. I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. That we have authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. We're not trying to get it. We got it. Hallelujah. He's a defeated foe. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we are the victors in Christ Jesus. And we just thank you for all that, Lord God. Lord, it's what we have. It's what we are. Lord God, Lord, our identity is in the kingdom of God, the kingdom we belong to. Our identity is not in the world. We can look over and see the place where we used to live and what we used to live under. We see it with them. But that's not ours anymore. Hallelujah. Lord, we can call people from that place to this place. Hallelujah. To this kingdom. And Lord God, I thank you, Father. Father, that's for we're this race. We're this God race in the earth. Hallelujah. And we're just going to walk in the light of it. Lord, we're not doing this because we're something perfect. Lord, people will say all kinds of things. Their voices will say all kinds. But it matters not. The Word's true what it says about us. And we're going to walk in the light of what it says about us. We're going to speak what it says about us and not speak, Lord God, what man says about us. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. We're blessed. And I want to thank you. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to just say thank you. Thank you that I don't have to live under the curse. I am so glad. I am so glad, hallelujah, that I'm in a kingdom that only has blessing. There is no curse. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Amen. Kingdom. And that's our kingdom. Hallelujah. That we have a Lord who loves us. Hallelujah. Our Jesus didn't come and steal and kill and destroy nothing. He just came and gave us everything. Blessed us. Oh, blessed and blessed and blessed. And we just want to say thank you. We're living in that kingdom of blessing. And Lord God, we call people to that kingdom of blessing. Satan, we stand against you and we bind you in your operation against the church of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that you gave us the authority to bind him in his operation. I thank you today, Lord God, we stand in authority over the church, over the house of God. We command, Satan, that you be bound in your torment, the things that you do against God's people in the name of Jesus. We speak life and wholeness and soundness in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak sound minds in the name of Jesus. That any fretting or any fear, hallelujah, it leaves immediately in the name of Jesus. And our thoughts are full of life and hope, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you today, Lord, hallelujah. As we go out of this place, Lord God, we're putting on that new thinking. On that new helmet that we're wearing, hallelujah. That new way of life that we're walking in, hallelujah. That gives glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.